It's good to be with you again. We're coming to the discipleship class again, and it's part five. And the subject that falls upon me is witnessing for the Lord. So if we could take our Bibles, we're opening to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And I'd like to read a portion of Scripture here. I find it's very applicable for every child of God. Concerning witnessing for the Lord, we read here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, of the conversion of the man of Gadara and how the Lord had instructed him to go home to tell his friends of the great things the Lord had done for him. And so we'll begin our reading at verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. Let us hear God's word. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now when there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had a compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 20, knowing that God will add his own blessing to his precious word for his own name's sake. Again, let us bow briefly, seeking God's face, lifting our hearts before the Lord, asking him for help. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we ask of Thee that Thy name would be glorified even now. We cry unto thee that thou wilt give that help, that aid that thou alone dost give. We pray that Christ might have the preeminence in all things. We pray that man would be hid behind the cross, that none would be seen but Jesus Christ. We ask of thee that you'll help us in this class, that we would see what thou would have to say to our souls. We pray that thou wilt raise up a standard in these days, that we would have days of heaven upon earth. We ask of thee now that thou wilt empty us now of self and of sin, and that you'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power, and that you'll bless each head bowed now for the glory of thy precious name. For it's in his wonderful name we ask all these things, and for thy glory alone, for it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Verse 19 of the passage that we read earlier, Mark 5:19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. As I've stated, the topic that falls upon me for this discipleship class is the subject of witnessing for the Lord. The passage that we've read here together, we read of the conversion of the man of Gadara, his deliverance from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. We see at the very outset that this man is willing to follow Christ. He's willing at the very outset to go anywhere and to follow his blessed Saviour. Yet his commission is that he must go home. That he must go home to his friends and tell them of the great things the Lord had done for him, and that the Lord had compassion on him. The Lord states this to him, that Christ might be honoured, that this man would testify to Christ, that he would bear witness to Christ, witness of his person, that he would witness of his work, and that his neighbours and his friends would repent of sin and be invited to believe in Christ. You see, child of God, this is a debt we owe both to Christ and to all those that live around us, or live among us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bids this man to go to his own house, to the place of his former abode, to the town or the city where he before dwelt, and where perhaps his father and his mother, his brethren and sisters, wife and children, might live. This man, though willing to go anywhere, he's directed to go home, to go to his own place, his own town, his own city, and to tell his friends of the great things the Lord had done for him, and hath had compassion on him. He was to be a missionary for Christ on his own doorstep. He was to be a missionary for Christ on his own doorstep in the region where he was so well known and so long dreaded. Many were scared of him. before his conversion, because he was night and day cutting himself. Many would call him the madman of Gadara. No one wanted to go near him. But yet there's a great transformation in his life. The Lord saves him, makes him a trophy of grace, and he gives him the command to go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And so he's commanded to go to his own doorstep. In the region where he was so well known and so long dreaded, he submitted to the will of Christ. He hearkened to his instructions. There was no mumbling or grumbling. He simply goes. He simply goes and does that what the Lord tells him. He took his advice, obeyed his commands, and so began to publish in Decapolis, to herald divine truth, to preach and proclaim the gospel. He's found in his own place, witnessing for the Lord. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. No, you're not going there. You can't come with us. But you'd be better used in your own place. You'd be better used among those who you grew up with. You'd be better used along a side of those you've been acquainted with. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You see, witnessing for the Lord begins at home. Witnessing for the Lord begins at home. And here is our first and foremost responsibility and obligation after our conversion. Is that witnessing for the Lord begins on our own doorstep. It begins among those of our own household. It is to witness to those of our own household, those of our own stock, those of our own kin, those who we used to run with on the broad way that leadeth to destruction, that is, those of whom we have read, grown up with, or have been acquainted with. Go home to thy friends and tell them of the great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Doesn't matter, child of God, it doesn't matter what they think of you because you are now a Christian. It doesn't matter what they think of you, and now that you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what they say to you because of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our responsibility. This is our obligation to witness for the Lord, beginning at our own doorstep, among our own kindred, among our own nation, among our own people, those of our own tongue, whether it be a mother, whether it be a father, whether it be a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Simply go and tell them what the Lord's done in your life. Simply go and tell them how the Lord has transformed your life, how he's forgiven your sins. And now that you're at peace with God, simply tell it out. Just go tell them. Those who you work among, those who perhaps you go to school with, those you've grew up among, go home to thy friends and tell them the great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Yes, it's true in that negative sense. It is true that we cannot guarantee that they will all be saved, whether friends, whether family. In that negative sense, it's true that we cannot guarantee that they will all be saved. Remember what it was said in John 1:11 of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He came on to his own and his own received him not. His own land, his own country. It was called this because this was the place of his birth. God was manifest in the flesh. Those among him, when he walked upon this earth, they did not acknowledge him to be the Messiah. They rejected him. They despised him. And many received him not. And the same happens in our present day. Many despise him. Many reject him. The same happens in our present day. To those who receive and to those who reject the gospel. Because it is the means of salvation to the former. That is, those who receive. It is a means of destruction to the latter. For they are not only not saved because they do not believe the gospel, but they are condemned because they reject it. To the one, as Paul states in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. You don't have to turn to it for time's sake. But he states this as he's moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, to the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. You see, friends, child of God, we're simply called to be faithful. We're simply called to be faithful to Christ in witnessing for the Lord, beginning on our own doorstep. Beginning at home. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. See, throughout the Bible, as we look through its pages, as we study the Bible, we find occasion after occasion that witnessing always begins at home. That witnessing always begins at home. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. And verse 44, and we read the following from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, 44, we see here the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples, and he says, and he said unto them, verse 44 of Luke 24, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened pardon me, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You see, they were to begin at home, in Jerusalem, in their own home place. They were to begin at home first of all in Jerusalem and then go out further afield. They must begin there. They must begin there. Preach their first gospel sermon in their own home place. This is the divine order of things. And then they proceed to go out further afield, to preach both repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, before we step onto a plane and seek to evangelize in the uttermost part of the earth, we must first begin in our own families. We must first begin in our own doorstep. We must first begin at home. And so we go back to the passage we read earlier. And we find in Mark 5:18, we read, here's the man of Gadara, he's saved. Immediately he's willing to go with the Lord. He's wanting to go into the ship with him and be near his blessed Saviour. And he says, we read, in verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Yet the Lord refused his request. The Lord refused his request and told him to stay at home, to witness there, because such would be the testimony of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such was the change in this man's life. Such was the transformation that the people would clearly see the work of God in this man's life. Because such was the right about turn, newness of life. And the Lord says, I have a work for you to do at home. Go home to thy friends. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. This is our duty. This is our responsibility. This is our obligation to those around us, to simply tell them of the great things the Lord hath done in our lives. And how he has a compassion on us, that we would not keep back the truth. No, but rather spread it. Tell it out. Proclaim it. Publish it. See, he was simply to witness in his own place. To witness of the person of Christ, of his deity and sonship, to simply testify of what Christ had done in his life. Remember, the Lord had said to the apostles, turn with me to Acts 1:8. I know we're looking at a number of verses, but it's good to search the Scriptures. It's good to see what the Lord says of these matters. And you don't just take it from me, but simply we see what the Word says. We see what God's Word says. And in verse 8 we read the following: "But ye shall receive power." Acts chapter 1 verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, their influence would be great and extensive. Yes, it would extend out, but it was beginning in Jerusalem. It was beginning at the home in their own place. And therefore, child of God, it begins at home. Your light must shine from there. Your light must shine from there and then throughout. And then further afield. But it begins at home. Because our own doorstep is a mission field. Our own families, our own friends. Our own families is a mission field. Friend, every unconverted person is the mission field. Every unconverted person is the mission field. I want to read this from C.H. Spurgeon's. We read it the last time and concerning the subject of prayer. And it's a portion from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Daily Devotions. And again, if you want to read it in your own time, it's easily available in the eSword. C.H. Spurgeon's Daily Devotions, and it's, I really like this portion, and that's why I'm reading it, and I'm sure you'll like it too. Really touched my own heart. Acts chapter 1:8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me," and ye shall be witnesses unto me, and this is what C.H. Spurgeon says, in order to learn to discharge your duty as a witness for Christ, look at his example. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ's example. He is always witnessing by the well of Samaria or in the temple of Jerusalem, by the lake of Gennesaret or on the mountain's brow. He is witnessing night and day. His prayers, his mighty prayers, are as a focal to God as his daily services. He witnesses under all circumstances. Scribes and Pharisees cannot shut his mouth. Even before Pilate, he witnesses a good confession. He witnesses so clearly and distinctly that there is no mistake in him. Christian, make your life a clear testimony. Be you as the brook wherein you may see every stone at the bottom, not as the muddy creek, of which you only see the surface, but clear and transparent, so that your heart's love to God and man may be visible to all. You need to say, I am true. Be true. Boast not of integrity, but be upright. So shall your testimony be such that men cannot help seeing it. Never for fear of feeble man restrain your witness. Your lips have been warmed with a coal from off the altar. Therefore let them speak as like heaven. Touched, that is, heaven touched lips should do. Let them speak as like heaven. Touched lips should do. In the morning, so thy seed. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Watch not the clouds, consult not the wind in season and out of season, witness for the Saviour. And it shall come to pass that for Christ's sake and the Gospel's you shall endure suffering in any shape, shrink not, but rejoice in the honour thus conferred upon you, that you are counted worthy to suffer with your Lord. And joy also in this, that your sufferings, your losses, and persecutions shall make you a platform from which the more vigorously and with greater power you shall witness for Jesus Christ. Study your great exemplar and be filled with his Spirit. Remember that you need much teaching, much upholding, much grace, and much humility if your witnessing is to be to your Master's glory. And so over and over, witnessing for the Lord. Witnessing for the Lord begins at home. Witnessing begins at home. You take Andrew in the Scriptures. I like Andrew. He was the background man. You don't read much of Andrew in the Scriptures. But when you do read of him, he's always simply bringing people to Christ. John 1:41, we read, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but we read this. He first findeth his own brother Simon. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Andrew being affected with the grace bestowed upon him, and transported with joy at the Messiah being revealed, goes in all haste in search of his relations, in search of his own family members, friends, and those he lived among, to communicate what he had seen and heard in order to bring them to the knowledge of the same. Ah, such is the testimony of Scripture. Begins at home, witnessing for the Lord. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Take the woman of Samaria. Oh yes, she began in her own place. When she came to know the Saviour, what did she say? Come see a man. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She begins at work immediately in her own home, her own nation, her own people. She says, come see a man. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We see how caring and concerned she was to have her friends and neighbours acquainted with Christ. She expressed to her own people of both his humanity and his deity, because she said, come see a man. There's his humanity. And then she further goes on to say concerning Christ's deity, that he's God manifest in the flesh. She says, which told me all things that ever I did. See, the Lord knows all things. He knows all things. He told her that which none knew. Which none knew but God. And her own conscience. She was affected by the extent of his knowledge and the power of his word. You see, we're not only to witness for the Lord beginning at home, but we are to witness to Christ. We're to witness of him. We're to speak of him because Christ is God of very God. The only begotten of the Father. We're to witness to those around us that man's problem is sin and that Christ is the only remedy. As Paul the Apostle, he sets out in his epistle to the Romans as he was moved by the Holy Ghost that man is a guilty, a sinner under the judgment of God. For we have both, what does he say, setting out in Romans? He says, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so he sets out that all are under the guilt of sin. That all are under the guilt of sin, under it as under a sentence, under it as under a bond, which they are bound over to eternal ruin and damnation. And so this is what we're to set out before the people. To tell them of their state in order that they might see the Redeemer. That the Lord would reveal his Son to fallen man. You see, they are under it as under a burden that will sink them to the lowest hell. And that man in and of himself, he cannot in any way be justified by the law. Yes, the law gives the knowledge of sin. The law gives the knowledge of sin but cannot save. As it states in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And isn't there many among us that are trying to work their way into heaven? They're trying by the deeds of the law, and yet really they're outside of Christ. They're seeking to please God by another way. Who will tell them? On our own doorstep. Many seeking to please God by their own works. And yet really they're on the road to hell. There's many on our own doorstep. And God simply asks of us, go home, tell thy friends the great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion in thee. You see, there's no hope whatsoever in human merit. No hope whatsoever in human merit. What else was Paul teaching in his epistle to the Romans? Well, that a righteousness of God is now revealed. that a righteousness is now revealed apart from the law, but witnessed by it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That is, that there's one way of divine acceptance, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That salvation is found in Christ alone and in none other. And this was what God was saying to the man of Gadara. Go home and tell them of the great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And so we are to do likewise. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that justification is by grace. It's by grace. Being justified freely. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word freely simply means without a cause. Without a cause. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And as I've said, that word freely simply means without a cause. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to merit it. We did absolutely nothing to deserve it. And it's solely on the ground of the blood. Of the blood that was shed on our behalf. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That is, sin is pardoned. The sinner accepted as righteous and end made of iniquity, and an everlasting righteousness brought in. This is done immediately upon our believing. We are actually put into a state of justification and reconciliation, and so it is on the ground of the blood. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Through faith in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, child of God, we have a message. We have a message to tell forth. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We have a responsibility, an obligation for those who we live among. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now we have a responsibility in witnessing for the Lord and witnessing to Christ, witnessing of Him, as we have been called for such a time as this. And friends, we are responsible for those we live among. We are responsible for them. Are we keeping back the gospel from them? Are we keeping back the gospel from them? The man of Gadara, oh, he was in an awful state. We read the passage earlier. He was an unclean man, yet God made him clean. He was bound in chains and fetters, yet the Lord set him free. He was mad, he was unclothed, he was cutting himself night and day, he was in a desperate state, he was in despair. And yet the Lord set him free, and he was clothed. He was sitting at the Lord's feet. He was clothed, and in his right mind, the Lord transformed him. The Lord changed him. And the Lord has done exactly the same for us. But my friends, there are many out there. There are many among whom we live that are exactly in the same state as this man, in the sense they are lost. They're without Christ. They're in their sins. And we have such a privilege, having the gospel. We have something to tell out. We have something that they need. And as soon as the Lord had saved that man, he was willing to go anywhere. He was willing to go anywhere. Right at the very outset, and yet the Lord said to him, no. He suffered him not. And yet he didn't mumble or grumble. He was willing simply to go where the Lord had sent him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Therefore, child of God, you do likewise. You do likewise, because the same is for us today. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself for his own name's sake. Let us bow reverently before the Lord. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has been of thyself. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. We pray for those who we live among, those who are yet dead in trespasses and in sins. We ask of thee that thou wilt have mercy in these days, and thou wilt pluck brands from the burning. Thou wilt do that divine work that only thou can do. Lord, we long to see them saved, clothed and in their right mind. And we pray earnestly, humbly before thee, that thou wilt have thine own way, and that they would soon be among us, calling upon thy name. Pray that you'll give us days of heaven upon earth. Pray that you'll empty us of self and of sin. You'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. And you'll take us, use us, to speak clearly and plainly of thee. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things, and for thy glory alone. For it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen. Amen.